is the lessons for the guests who have been invited to the dinner, and then also, second, the lessons for the host giving the dinner banquet. Now, obviously, Jesus' lessons are intended to be far beyond just showing proper manners, because in doing so, he's offering some very profound truths about himself. And there's no difference between today and 2,000 plus years ago. Because I think it's quite common to kind of maneuver ourselves into certain places at a table. Now, the table configuration that Jesus was at most probably was kind of shaped like a U. The host was at the base, and then the others along the side, and, you know, certain people would try to jockey their way to get towards the head of the table. It's all about where we want to sit, the place we want to be, the people we want to be around, or how we want to be recognized, in a sense, even by how we're positioned there at the table. But the idea here is, you know, maybe let the host, let God set the places, and then call you up to a higher place. Wait to be called up. But then it just kind of runs counter kind of to our culture, the way we kind of think and do things. You know, it's kind of either, you know, go for what's our right, you know. Well, this is where I want to sit. These are the people I want to be with. But then there, in the lesson, there's this kind of reversal that Jesus works in. It's Jesus doing and teaching about something that's kind of not in the normal way we would just tend to do things. And it begins with an attitude of just humility. He takes it one step further that goes beyond just showing manners into where we sit. If you read further on into the Gospel of Luke, we read this. It says, "Also a dispute rose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who's at the table?" That's our thinking, right? If you're at the table, then you're the important person. But then Jesus throws out, "But I'm among you as one who serves." So the greatest is not the one who sits at the table, but the one who serves, in Jesus' perspective. And what we really have here is kind of a description, really, of the life, the ministry, the death, resurrection of Jesus. Because his role went far beyond just being a nice guy and a nice guest to sacrificially serving everyone and other guests. The religious guys that Jesus was hanging out with that night and were there at that dinner, it was all about, for them, it was all about position, titles, being noticed. This is, you know, they welcomed that. They liked that. They liked, you know, the acknowledgement. And their rules and laws prejudiced the way they viewed other people. And you can only think that they're there and they're looking around, they're sizing up the crowd, and they're trying to kind of say, "Well, I'm probably higher than that person, and my position is better than that person," and this, that's what their world is. And rather than being exalted at God's table, they end up being humbled. So beyond worrying about what seats we get at the guests at the table, you know, whom we seek to serve as guests is kind of the idea. And we come to realize that God has a list. We would call it a guest list. God calls it a grace list. Jesus is speaking to people about how to see, treat, and serve others. But ultimately, in a sense, in the story, if you understand it, he's talking about himself. It's what he does. Where he welcomes and invites people to come and share a meal with him. And it's his desire to serve them. He just wants his guests to receive. He invites as many people as he can. And all who come are on his grace list, his guest list. I think our tendency, again, this is just the way we do it, and there's nothing wrong about it. You know, we invite, all right, I want my friends to come over this time, and this is what we're going to do. And sometimes we reciprocate, we go back and forth, but Jesus is not saying that's wrong. He's just helping us to see something different in the way he was doing things. And he's saying, how about inviting those who can't pay you back or reciprocate? And that's when he says, you know, the poor, the lame, the blind, the crippled. He said, they're in a position where maybe they can't. Because again, that's where he's at, the way he's kind of using those kinds of people to teach a lesson. Jesus is not looking for payback. Well, I did this for you, now I expect you to do this for me as well. Because what he gives is an expression of grace, and it's undeserved. So really, all those people can do is just receive. It's not easy just to receive. Because we are always thinking we got to offer something back, something more, something better that he would appreciate. You go through this whole Gospel of Luke, and Luke has Jesus eating with all kinds of people. And it's interesting, some people say, he even eats with sinners. Why would he do that? Why would Jesus choose to be with those people, eating with those people? I guess the question is, why would he not do that? Why would he not do that? Isn't that the reason he came? And because of who he chose to eat with and hang out with, isn't that kind of good news for us? It's very good news for us. Because you see, what happens at his table is different. Because it's a whoever you are. Whatever your background is, whatever you have done, an invitation is offered to dine at a table of grace with all the lavish provisions. And it's a place where you can feel comfortable enough just to be yourself. You don't have to hide anything, to pretend to be anything, because he knows who you are. And he's invited you anyway to come and be in his presence. He wants to share something with you. And at his table, what does he want to share? Some mercy, some grace, unconditional love, forgiveness. That's what he wants to share. To share his very presence, communicating, I want to be with you. I want to be near you. And pay attention to who these people are. There's good words spoken at his table. Words that heal, encourage, that give hope, that are life transforming. And to know that you can be in a place like that and the things that are known about you and still whatever, to be able to be listened to and cared for, you say, well, you know what? That kind of tastes good. I like what's being offered at this table because it comes across as true comfort food, something that really just gets in and settles in our life. Because Christ the host has called us to his table. And it's just one long, big, accommodating table. And because of the grace that's shared there, walls can be broken down. Restoration can happen. Things that once separated can be made, brought back together in reconciliation. And you look down that table, you say, look how many different kinds of people are here. Look at all this. It's about God inviting sinners to eat with him. People who can't repay, people who can't reciprocate, come to receive. Because every single person at the table has the same thing in common. And the one thing they all have in common is they have the same need. They just need forgiveness. They need promise that they've been died for, that they are loved by God, and that regardless of what may have happened back there, can be renewed and restored, and God can offer a gift of forgiveness and grace. So something new can come. And again, kind of this expression of this reversal from our normal way He invites those who are not entitled to be there. He invites us, as sinful as we possibly could be at times, and he says, I just want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. The word for the invitation is grace. It's amazing. And it's different, his kingdom values, from our social values, the way we do this. The people who humbly serve and the people who are being served. But if we seek to give a life of service and sharing and giving with others, it's not always easy. There's always difficulties. Kind of like this. One day a kindergarten teacher was helping one of her students put on his cowboy boots. He asked for help, and she could see why. Even with her pulling and him pushing, the little boots still didn't want to go on. Finally, when the second boot was on, she had worked up a sweat. She almost cried when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked down, and sure enough, they were. And it wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. But she managed to keep her cool as together they worked to get the boots back on, this time on the correct feet. And it was only then that he announced, "These aren't my boots." Rather than screaming, she bit her tongue. "Why didn't you say that before?" At once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots, you know, off his little feet. And no sooner had they got the boots off than he said, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them today." Keeping composure, as a kindergartner teacher would do, and they're gifted in that way, she mustered up the grace and courage she had left to wrestle the ill-fitting boots on his feet again, helping him into his coat. She asked, "Now where are your mittens?" To which he replied, "I've stuffed them in the shoes of into the toes of my boots." There's probably preschool teachers here or staff that can relate to those kinds of things. Sometimes when we want to serve, it's not always easy. A few years ago, when I would go over to Orange Lutheran once in a while for chapels or different things, I'd wander through this one area, and there was one lady, she worked there a number of years, and she worked kind of as we'll call her like a lunch lady type person. She handed out coins to kids that, you know, were using the vending machines at the time and stuff. And we just would talk once in a while. And she one day just kind of told me about her ministry there, how much she loved being there. Because she says, "You know what, I get the chance to maybe be that person that people talk to, students talk to. They wouldn't maybe tell their teacher, they wouldn't tell their mom or dad or whatever like that. And the stories that she got to listen to, the praying she got to do for the kids. And for her, it was ministry. She wasn't just a lunch lady. She was there, as she saw it, just to minister to kids and to be open and available." There's so much ministry that happens at our school. You know, I like being around. Sometimes I'll go out and wander around when the kids are coming in and being checked in, or even when they're being picked up, and the way it's done. And the reason why is because of what I hear. Almost without exception, when a kid's coming in, you know, their name is shouted out, how excited they are to see him that day. Parents are greeted, grandparents are greeted. And you get the feeling like, how cool is this? How much they want my kid to be here as they're getting checked in, or how loved they feel or whatever. And it's huge. You sense the spirit of it. Just the checking in and the checking out process, and the value that is put on those kids and the families. And then the teachers and their aides and the stuff that they do. From the to two-year-old staff that hang out with them every day and even having to do some diaper changing and ministering to the kids and loving on them, up to the ones that are getting ready to go to kindergarten, all with their different needs, all with their different things going on in their lives. But again, it's not just how they're talked to, but the things that they're learning and the love that's being shared. And if you're a kid and you just know that, hey, I feel safe here, I feel loved here, doesn't that open up a heart? So when someone talks to them about Christ, or someone offers to pray for them when they heard that maybe their grandma or their grandpa is sick or something like that, you know, what that means. And for kids, that's amazing. And that's what happens every single day. That's kind of why I'm excited to always be around when school's going on here, just because you feel it, you sense it, and that's what we want. Again, just for kids to be able to, like Jesus said, it doesn't matter the cross-section of kids come through here. These are people that are going to get loved and prayed for and encouraged and supported, and their families too. It's a great thing to be able to have this ministry that we can share in. It's a ministry of service. Jesus taught us something very special that day when he was at that dinner about himself and us. He says, what's all this stuff about roles and positions, and I'm a this and I'm a that, and where I need to be and where I don't want to be? But how about just in humility say, God, just however you want to use me. And let God work through us just to be an example of his light and life in the world, and just humbly serve. That's what grace is all about. It just shares, it just gives, it just is. And we just do it anyway, because that's what we've experienced from Christ and what we've experienced from God. So we're grateful for that. We're grateful for you and your families and everyone. Just again, pray for our school, our staff, families, and, you know, just that we can support and be a part of this together, because it's a beautiful thing. Excited for a new year coming up and what God is going to do and how he's going to work through all of us in that. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll now take our offering.